I would. It is my pleasure. I'll put it that way. It is my pleasure to bring invite Pastor Wayne up forward here. That is the man to whom I owe my. He is the earthly man that I owe my salvation to, the human instrument of God's message. So, I appreciate you being here, and I thank you for coming. I believe it's of God that you come this week too. Yeah. So bring your word and
amen.
Bring the word.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate those things. Morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's a joy to be back in Beverly. I don't know if there's any place in the world quite like Beverly, Kansas. But we always enjoy the drive and coming in and seeing the beautiful rolling lands. And it gets more pretty as we get closer to Beverly. But take your Bibles today to the book of Nehemiah. I was thinking about a scripture to give to you in 2023. If I could give you one verse for 2023, it's in Luke, but you're turning to Nehemiah. I must be about my Father's business. I must be about my Father's business. Who said that? Jesus said that. So I've entitled this morning's message, My Business or My Father's Business. My business or my Father's business, how to live in 2023, how to live this year. Now, if you want to be able to say, I'm about my Father's business, then you have to be a child of God. And the only way you can be a child of God is through salvation. And that salvation is only through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. The name of Jesus. You need to be saved. That's the only way you can be about your Father's business is to be a child of the King. And you become that through belief in Jesus Christ. Hopefully you have found Nehemiah. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. You're in Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. How to live in 2023. Nehemiah chapter 1. We're going to pick up the reading now in verse 3. Verse 3. And they said unto me, okay, these are some guys that have come to Jerusalem. They're speaking unto Nehemiah. They said unto Nehemiah, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Is that good news or bad news? Bad news. He's receiving a report. He's in a foreign land. He's hearing back about his home city, the city of God, city of God's people. The Bible says in verse 4, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Sounds like Monday night, doesn't it? What happened Monday night? Nobody knows up here? An NFL player got injured. Yes? What did the players do? What did people do? They prayed. It's been an interesting week, hasn't it? You can't do anything. You turn to God. We should be turning to God all the time, yes or no? Let's go before the God of heaven. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that you have pinned this down in your word that we can sense and feel and see and hear from Nehemiah. Lord, as we're here at the beginning of a new year, and we don't know what this year is going to bring as a world, as a nation, as a state, as a community, as a church, as a home, as an individual. Lord, there'll be some surprises. There'll be some good. There'll be some bad. There'll be some ups. There'll be some downs. But Lord, I pray that this would be a year that we would be busy about your work, that we would be found in your work, that your work would be on our mind, our hearts, that we would be busy about it. Lord, teach us how to live in 2023. Show us from someone's life, the life of Nehemiah, how to handle things, of how to do things, that we can glean from him, incorporate that into our own life, and be the person that we're supposed to be for you, that we would be pleasing to you. Lord, it's so easy for us as Americans to live for this old world. We have so much of it at our fingertips and our accounts, on our phones and on our lands and our homes, and we have so many things that we can't even find everything. We are super, super blessed. So, Lord, I would pray. We walk out the doors of this church this morning, that you will have spoken to hearts the only way that you do, through the preaching of your word and the power of your spirit speaking deep inside of us, that we would adjust our thinking, our lives, and whatever else needs to be adjusted to be in harmony with you. Lord, thank you for the marching orders of the scriptures. Help us to be living to the beat of its drum, not the beat of this world's. Lord, help me to preach today. Help us to hear with our hearts. Help us to have open ears, like good seed falling to good ground, that there would be fruit and fruit that remains. We pray it in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. You may be seated. I know this, if we take care of God's business, God will do what? He'll take care of ours. The Bible says if we honor God, God will do what? He will honor us. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek his righteousness. Ecclesiastes over and over warns us of the folly, the foolishness of pursuing selfish goals. Proverbs warns us about chasing money. The Bible says in Proverbs, labor not to be rich. It says about finances in Proverbs that finances can grow wings and fly away, can it not? 1 Timothy warns us about loving money. Loving money is the root of all evil. Jesus told us that we cannot love God and mammon. He said it was an impossibility, yet we often try to do that, don't we? Oftentimes we're living for what we can gain in this world, what we can have in this world, what we can be in this world, instead of living for God. How much simpler it is just to live for God. It gets very complicated trying to live for yourself. If we're living for this old world and things matter to us, you can buy something brand new, but it's eventually going to wear down. It's going to break down. Somebody's going to steal it. Then you got to take care of it. The more you own, the more you got to take care of. Am I speaking to anybody today? Living for things or living for God? Using things for the glory of God or loving the things of this world? I think of some very sad men in the Bible. You remember old Saul? He was the first king. Boy, he had a great position. Had it all, did he not? You ever read of his riches? His wisdom, all the things that he had? His position? But he had a problem. Anybody remember his problem? Somebody said it over here. A little envy, a little jealousy. He didn't like someone because the people of the nation, especially the women, were singing about him. Saul had slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands, and he was so focused on one person that he spent a lot of time searching and seeking to do what to David? To do what to him? To kill him. It's like a rock in his shoe. He wasted his time, his life, and his energy. You remember old Haman? Old Haman had moved up in the nation. He'd gotten into the second position in the world. Oh, everything was going good, but there was one man who wouldn't bow down to him. One man. What was that guy's name? Mordecai. Oh, Haman stewed. He stewed about it. Some of us stew about things we shouldn't be stewing about. Yes or no? He let one man consume his focus. He didn't enjoy his position. He didn't enjoy all the things that he had. He didn't enjoy his servants. There was one thing on his mind. What a terrible way to live. Maybe that's us. Maybe there's one thing on our mind. Maybe there's some barn we're building or something that we want to get to, some amount we want to get to, someday we're looking forward toward retirement. I want to buy a brand new car. Oh, I've got a brand new car, and now you can't eat French fries in it. And you got to park it out on the back 40. And be careful, don't touch it. Sometimes it's better to have an old, beater. Oh, another scratch, don't worry. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm getting after today? You know what I'm saying? Yes or no? And then we come to a fellow by the name of Nehemiah. Nehemiah had a heart for God. He had a heart for God's will, a heart for God's work, for the things of God. He was unselfish. He was more concerned about God than about himself. He's in a position that we need to be in as Christians. And so I want to kind of take us through Nehemiah's life as detailed here in the books of Nehemiah. I just want to take and reach into his life and just pull out a few things and put them up on a billboard and say, look at this, and this is what we ought to look like. The first thing I want you to learn from Nehemiah's life is that Nehemiah saw himself correctly. You know how important it is that you see yourself correctly? Now, if you get too close to the mirror, what happens if you get too close to the mirror? Now, you guys are not with me today. I'm going to have to shake you up. What happens if you get too close to the mirror? You can see every imperfection, right? How many people in this world are focused on their looks? Oh, just a lot. How big an industry is it? All about our image and the social media and everything that goes along with that. You know how important it is for us to see ourselves correctly? People are confused about themselves, yes or no? They're going out and trying to discover themselves. I got to find myself. And the word of 2023, I think, is going to be the word transitioning, unfortunately. People are getting more confused, yes or no? More confusion. Notice in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 6, I want you to see in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 6, near the end of that verse, take a look at it now, at the end of that verse, Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 6, he says, let thine ear, he's talking to God, let thine ear now be attentive, thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel. But look at this last statement, which we have what? We have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have what? Nehemiah saw himself as a what? Sinner. And if we don't understand that we are sinners, then we don't have a need for a Savior. If we don't see ourselves as sinners, we'll be hard on other people sometimes. Harder than we should. We got to see ourselves as sinners because it helps us to stay in a humble position. Anybody ever heard of John Newton? If you never heard of him, you probably sang at least his poem, Amazing Grace. You ever heard that sung before? Now, John Newton was a very wealthy man. He was very busy in the slave trade. You and I have no inkling what it was like to transfer a person from Africa to somewhere over in the West and to be one of those slaves, and we have no inkling of what that was like. But he was busy in this business, and it was very lucrative. He got caught in a storm, an 11-day storm, where his sails were battered, his ship was battered, the men were wore out, and all looked lost. And he began to remember some Bible verses that his godly mother had drilled into him. And for the first time in a long time, he looked toward the clouds, looked toward heaven, and began to pray. And that began his journey back to God. He had become a vile man, a wicked man, a blaspheming man. He had become a man who found himself deep in debauchery, who was lost and was found, who was blind but was able to see. And he became a preacher and a minister, and he ministered for 40 years, sharing the glorious news of the gospel of Christ. Here's a guy, he was really down low. And now he's standing in places and delivering the gospel from the same mouth. It's unbelievable what God can do in a person's life. It was Sunday, the first day of the new year, January 1st, just like last week. First day of the year on Sunday, January 1st, John Newton came to the pulpit. And in preparation of his sermon, they would have a song or a poem or something to kind of prepare for the sermon. And he had written a poem. And that poem introduced his sermon. That poem was Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Saved, I don't know if you know that, but there's churches that don't sing Amazing Grace. You know why they don't sing Amazing Grace? Because they don't believe that they're a wretch. Now, can you believe that there are people in the world that won't sing this song? Because they don't believe that they're a wretch. They don't understand the Bible, where the Bible says there is none righteous. No, not. We have all sinned and come short to the glory of God. You got to know who you are. John Newton never forgot where he came from, that he was a sinner. And now down through the ages, and on this very Sunday, the first Sunday of the new year, 250 years later, first Sunday, New Year's Day, 250 years later, I was in church somewhere and they sang Amazing Grace. We must see ourselves correctly. Notice in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11. He says, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy what? Servant. And to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day. You know how Nehemiah saw himself? He saw himself as a servant. And you know what a servant does? A servant serves, and he does the bidding of someone else. You know who we serve? Whom do we serve? We serve God. We serve our Lord and Savior. That's who we serve. We're servants of God. We're ready to do God's bidding. Jesus was a servant, yes or no? How did he demonstrate that? He washed the what? The disciples' feet. This was an example. He said, you go and do this. He was a servant. Paul, if you look at his writings, in the very first of the books that he wrote, he said multiple times that he was a servant of the living God. He was a servant of God. Look, you got to know who you are. You got to be in the right position. You got to see yourself correctly. See, some of us don't see ourselves as servants. We just want to be served. We want others to do for us. How important is that your kids see themselves as servants? It's important. Jesus said that the greatest of all is the servant of all. So we need to be careful. And thou say, according to the scriptures, in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. It is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. What's happening to our land? We are perishing before our own eyes because we're serving everything, ourselves and everybody else, and not serving God. You got to put yourselves in the right. Look, you want to have a great 2023? Then be in the right position. Humble position. I'm a sinner. forgiven. What a blessed place to be. I'm forgiven. I think we forget that sometimes. I'm forgiven. And I'm a servant of the Most High. If you'll keep that mindset, if it'll be in front of you, that'll be a good start for 2023. You'll serve. But we think too much of ourselves. We've become successful. Our nation has become very successful. And you know what success breeds? It breeds an arrogance. It breeds an overconfidence. It breeds a forgetfulness. It breeds a lack of respect. It breeds a lack of fear. We got the tiger by the tail, we like to think. And we forget God. And you know what wealth does to a man? You know what wealth does to a nation? It breeds independence. We don't need God. We can do it ourselves. We can make it happen. We can take the bulls by the horns. We have the almighty dollar, don't we? We'll fix it with money, yes or no? So we got to stay in the right position, servant's position, humble position. Nehemiah was very successful. He'd moved all the way up to a position of cupbearer. He was in the king's court. He was around the king. Everything that was happening in the whole world was coming in front of his eyes. It would be an interesting life to be in his position and seeing everything new every single day. He was next to the king. He lacked for nothing. He was in an honored position. He had many privileges. But Nehemiah saw himself correctly. He saw himself as a sinner. And he saw himself as a servant. Number two, Nehemiah sought God's strength. He sought God's strength. You know, when we get sick, you know who we seek? You know what we seek when we get sick? We want to find the best hospital. We want to find the best doctor. We want to find the best medicine. We get on the internet and start doing searches. Yes or no? We're like the old king in the Old Testament, Asa, who sought everybody but God. And God wrote it down about him too. He sought the physicians, but he didn't seek God. We seek the mechanic, his know-how. We seek the financial advisor, who's going to be able to tell us what the market's going to do this coming year. We seek the soil tester. Come on, tell us what the soil's like so I can put the right things in my soil. I figured that would be good for you folks up here. I mean, we seek a lot of things. Do you know who we need to seek? Notice in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, at the end of the verse. He said, I sat down and wept, mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. In Nehemiah chapter 1, in verse 11, he said, O Lord, I beseech thee. Do you see that? I beseech thee. Lord, I beseech thee. There have been a lot of people praying this week that they've never prayed. Now let thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name. Asking God to hear, asking God to do something. Nehemiah now had some connections. Boy, we believe in connections in America. Yes or no? Anybody in this room got some connections? Oh, you guys folks don't have no connections? Connections are important. Yes or no? Sometimes not what you know. It's who you know. It really is. It's how the world operates. Nehemiah had connections. He understands that he can do many things from his positions. But you know what the flesh profits? When it's all said and done, what's the flesh profit? What does the Bible say? Nothing. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 4. Notice in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 4, at the end of that verse, what did he do? He said, the king said this, and I prayed to the God of heaven. He is seeking God. We need God. We need God. Nehemiah wants God's help. He wants God's blessing, so he is seeking God. You know what we need to do? We need to seek God. Many of us are living and working separately from God, and we will call God when we need God. That's United States.
States of America, is it not?
When it's out of our hands, then we'll ask. Never go without God. I made a mistake or a sin the other night. I was with a pastor and a deacon. We stayed late after church, and we tried to solve a problem. The problem is they got no more space. That's a good problem, yes or no? I mean, they're packing them in like sardines, and they can't put any more in. And we're looking for land, and we're looking to build, and we talked around, used our brains for all of the things that we could think about, and whether we're going to do a loan or not, how we're going to do. I mean, this went on for a while. And I got in my car and began to drive up the street. And God struck my heart. And you know what God said to me in that car? He said, "You boys did a lot of talking, but you never talked to me." I was too far away to go back to the church because those boys had gone left. But I didn't leave those men in prayer in that place. That's who we should have talked to. That's who we should have sought out. Because God can make things happen when you can't make things happen of your own. So I texted them back the next day and told them we need to seek God and let God work this thing out for us. Nehemiah sought God's strength. So let me ask you a question. Should I preach without God? I hate to tell you this, but many people climbed in a pulpit today without God. Should you sing a special number without God? Should you go to work tomorrow without God? Should you lead your family without God? So many of us are operating without God because we're not seeking Him. We're not asking Him. We're not starting our day with Him. The only time we call out to Him is when we need something. And we're in a pickle. Nehemiah sought God, and you can see it in chapter 1 and chapter 2. Number 3, Nehemiah sought God's best. He sought God's best. It was not about personal gain. In Nehemiah chapter 2, in verse 10, it talks about Sanballat and Tobiah. They heard about Nehemiah and what he was going to do. And notice it says in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 10, that it grieved them exceedingly that there had come a man to seek what? The welfare of the children of Israel. Nehemiah was working for the greater good. He sought God's best. His world didn't revolve around him, it revolved around God. Jesus put it like this: we need to lose our life. His words go this way: whosoever will save his life shall what? Lose it. You live for yourself, you're going to lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, Jesus said, for my sake and the gospel's sake, the same shall save it. If we live for ourselves, what will be the end result of that? What is our end game? Is it vacations? Cruises? Travel? Is it homes? Is it a boat? Is it more hunting? Is it boats? Is it a bucket list? Is it motorcycles? What is the greater purpose of your life? What is the greatest purpose of your life? Should be Christ. It should be God. It should be His will and His work. You know why our churches are so weak in America? Because everybody's doing their own things. They come in, they have a little service, and they go home. And they forget the overarching work that God has for us. It's called the Great Commission. And Nehemiah was burdened not for his own pocketbook. He was burdened for God's city and Jerusalem and the temple and the worship and the people of God. That's what he was burdened about. And so Nehemiah sought God's best. I think of all the things that have died in the American church, and one of them is prayer meeting. We're not seeking anymore. It's a great place to start this year. Prayer meeting. I'm not talking about taking prayer requests. I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about God's people gathering together and seeking God. You want God to do something in your home? You want God to do something in community? You want God to do something in your country? You want God to do something in your church? Then why don't we seek God instead of complaining all the time? Seek God's best. Number four, Nehemiah was willing to leave the comfortable. Nehemiah was willing to leave the comfortable to inconvenience himself. You guys know what it means to inconvenience yourself? How many of you guys have ever been inconvenienced? Not a single soul. You guys are something else up here. I'll tell you what, I can't find a better church than this one. Inconveniences. Did you guys know that there were a lot of churches a couple of weeks ago on Sunday didn't have church? Did you know that? They canceled services. You know why they canceled services? Because it was Christmas. And what's Christmas? Celebration of what? The birth. Are you sure? I don't think these Christians realize that. Church on Sunday morning on Christmas Day was an inconvenience. I think it was a little bit of an inconvenience for Jesus to come to this earth,
for him to die on a cross,
for Mary to make her way 90 miles to the south, 9 months pregnant. You're talking about inconvenience. We are kind of a church in America that we don't like to be inconvenient. And don't inconvenience me. Nehemiah was willing to leave the comfortable. And the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11, that he made his way to Jerusalem, and he was there for 3 days. I want to ask you a question about Jerusalem. Did he get deluxe accommodations? Are you sure? When it came time for the people of Israel to go back home, how many of them went? They had to beg people to go back to Israel. This is not a place where he was going on a trip. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 5, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 5, at the very end of it, he says that I may go back and do what? What's he going to do in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 5? Last few words, what's he going to do? He's going to build. You know how many days it's going to take to build the city? We know the number because we read the end of this book. How many days? How many days did it take to rebuild Jerusalem? 52 days. So you know what Nehemiah went to do?
He went to work.
He left his job, left his position, left, if he had a family, he left them too. And he went to Jerusalem where it was dangerous, where there was enemies, where things were rough. And he worked. And he worked night and day, 52 days, and finished the work. He went to work. The Bible says here in Nehemiah that he had a trowel in one hand, a trowel, if you guys know anything about concrete, a trowel, and what was in the other hand? Sword or a spear. How'd you like to work under those conditions? You think they just needed to carry around a spear to hold the other arm up? Or do you think they were under attack, under threat? Nehemiah was willing to leave the comfortable to inconvenience himself for the cause of Christ. You're going to be at that very point many, many times this coming year where it's not convenient for you to do something.
You really don't want to do it. Your flesh is telling you what? Don't do it.
That's what your flesh is going to tell you. And you need to inconvenience yourself for the cause of Christ. It's what it's going to require. You want to have a great 2023? Inconvenience yourself. Number five. Anybody taking notes today? Am I on number five? Is that correct? Thank you. Nehemiah did what God put in his heart. Nehemiah did what God put in his heart. Look at Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 12. It says, I arose in the night, and I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Who put it in God's, who put it in his heart? God put it in his heart. Has God put anything in your heart to do? Has God put anything in your heart to do? Some of you are sitting here, and some of you said, I've wanted to go on a mission trip, but you've never gone. And if you continue to do what you do, you're not going to go. If God's put it on your heart to do it, you better do it. I've been going down to Mexico for the last, I don't know how many years. And I've been watching our Mexican missionaries. You ever been with some Mexican missionaries, living in the same house with them, eating what they eat, behaving what they have? And you can ask my wife. I've come home burdened many times. I always come home with my pockets empty. I always take as much money as I can and leave it all. I came home this year, and I said, honey, we got to do something. We got to do something. We got these missionaries that have gone out from Mexico all over the world. You wouldn't believe the places they've gone. They're on the field. They've been trained. They've been sent out. They're working. They don't have enough money to make it every month. And I'm sitting in America on a pile of cash. America is a cash cow, yes or no? She said, well, how many are there? I said, Lord, there's so many. I called my brothers in Mexico. I told them what we're going to do. They gave me a list, 66 missionaries that are on the field. And I'm talking about these are all new. These are not people who've been on meals for 10 or 15 years. These are people in the last 3 years have gone to the mission field. They're on the mission field, and they're not making ends meet, and they're all over the world. And so I said, Lord, how much do they win? My number I came to was $250,000. How'd you like to face that kind of number? My wife told me I was crazy when I told her that. I need $250,000 to take care of this stuff. I ain't got time to take care of money. I got work to do. And so I played on a video. How many of you guys watched that video? A couple of you? I think this year we've raised somewhere between $40,000 and $60,000. That's going to allow us to send out to each one of these missionaries $600. You know what $600 will mean to a family on a field serving God? You know what $600 American will mean? Might not mean much to us. It'll mean the world to them. Some of them are suffering and they're crying. They've laid down their life. They've gone. They left their families, their churches. They're just trying to serve God somewhere. They got their wife and their kids. Men, you know what it's like not to be able to feed your family? You ever been there? You can't feed your family. I've been with these people. One of our brothers, cartel took his motorcycle, his only mode of transportation. They kidnapped his wife, held her for 24 hours. When she got out, he gathered his family up and he went home, went back to his church. He said, I can't do this no more. He stayed home about 2 weeks. He says, I can't stay here anymore. I got to go back. He's back on the field with no motorcycle. But his wife and his kids went back with him. These are the kind of people I'm talking about. And we can't even have church on Sunday because it's Christmas. I don't know what God's put on your heart to do. But I know what he's put on every church's heart. Every church, every member of a church. He's put on what they call the Great Commission. That must be on our heart because this is what Jesus commanded all of us to do, and that's to evangelize and share the gospel and disciple other people, plant churches. This should be upon every person's heart. That's what God has put in our hands to do, but I find very few people who even care about the Great Commission, very few people who even share in the gospel. I find churches that don't even have a burden for the people that are lost. They have no outreach, zero. They have no discipleship.
They don't even know where their missionaries are. They can't even name their missionaries. They don't know them. They really don't care. This is your average American church and believer. Nehemiah did what God put in his heart. Number six, Nehemiah had to overcome some negativity. He had to overcome some fears. He had to overcome some scorn. In chapter 2, verse 10, you read a couple of his enemies. Verse 19, there they are mentioned again. Chapter 2, verse 19. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, they came alongside what he was doing. In verse 3, they said, "Oh, what you're building, a fox could knock down your wall." Chapter 4, verse 10, even the people who were building. Notice in chapter 4, verse 10, it was the tribe of Judah. You got to overcome words. You're going to have to overcome words. You're going to have to overcome fears. You're going to have to overcome negativity. You're going to have to overcome discouragement. If you're going to do something for God, you're going to have to overcome obstacles. Yes or no? If you stop when you get an obstacle, how far would the Apostle Paul went? How far would the early church have gone if they stopped when they had the first obstacle? It don't take much for us to stop, does it? Doesn't take much for us to quit. He was there 52 days, but I think he had a lot of obstacles. Yes or no? You read it. I guess that's why he prayed so much and he sought God so much. So you got to overcome negativity. Sometimes the negativity is in your own church. Sometimes the negativity is in your own family, in your own relatives. Sometimes it's in your own marriage. I want to give more to God this year financially. What? What are you talking about? How can we give more to God? Yeah, honey, why don't we give more to God? No! Sometimes it's a spouse dragging their feet. Somebody wants to give more to God. Number seven, Nehemiah was strong and courageous. He was strong and courageous. God's people must be strong and courageous. The early church in the book of Acts was strong and courageous. How many times did God speak to Joshua when Moses had died? How many times did God tell Joshua, you got to be strong and courageous? How many times? Three times. Chapter one. Look, you're going to have a good 2023? You've got to be strong and courageous. You got to be bold as a lion. You think the world likes your message? You think the world likes your God? Have you ever read Psalm 2? The heathen rage. The nations hate God. And if they hate God, they're going to hate you and what you're trying to accomplish. We're not going to serve God. We're not going to live for God and waltz through this world. It ain't happening. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 20, then answered I them, this is him talking to his enemies, he said unto them, the God of heaven, he's going to prosper us. I like where his confidence is at. He told his enemies, hey, the God of heaven's going to prosper us. Nehemiah 2:20. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build, and you will have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. He faced his enemies. In Nehemiah chapter 4, listen to this speech. How many of you guys ever heard of that guy over there, that little short guy over there in England? I mean, he's a little short guy, and nobody liked him so much. And Winston Churchill, you ever heard of him? They got a statue of him in downtown London and one over in Paris, France, both places. Now, I don't know if you've ever read his speeches in World War II, but he made me fight for him. Have you ever read them before? I'll come unglued. I'm ready to go to war. But I want you to listen to what Nehemiah said. Chapter 4, verse 19. This will make me fight with Nehemiah and go to battle arm in arm with him. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 19. And I said unto the nobles and the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, is it not? It is, isn't it? It's great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, I said unto the people, let every one of you with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes. The only time we took off our clothes was for what? For our washing. And that's the kind of guy I want to go battle with. He can lead me any day. And so you got to be strong and courageous if you're going to do something for God. Now let me quickly give you the other major points. Number 8, Nehemiah did not forget about those that made it happen. He did not forget about those that made it happen. Number 9, Nehemiah did not give in to compromise. So many people making deals today in the church. He didn't give in to compromise. Number 10, Nehemiah guarded against temptations. He guarded against temptations. Number 11, Nehemiah spoke to the obvious problem. And he spoke to the problem people. He spoke to the obvious problem and he spoke to the problem people. Number 12, Nehemiah chose well. Just because you can does not mean you should. Just because you can does not mean you should. Nehemiah chose well. Number 13, Nehemiah was aware of his enemies. He was aware of his enemies. Do you have an enemy? What's his name? That old dragon. What's his plan? To steal, to kill, and destroy. I think some of us forgot we got an enemy. You got to know your enemy. He was aware of his opponents. Number 14, Nehemiah did not cave to pressures. There's political pressure, there's family members, there's the priest pressure he had back in that time. He even had pressure from a tribe of Judah. Nehemiah did not cave under pressure. Number 15, Nehemiah knew that the work that he was doing was an eternal work. It was an eternal work. And number 16, I'll stop with this one. Nehemiah worshiped God. Wall was built. He led his people in the services to worship God. Always worship God. Amen? That's what Nehemiah did. You want to have a great 2023? Then put some of these things from Nehemiah into your personal life. Let's stand to our feet for closing invitation. Every eye closed. Please, no one looking around. The first order of business is this, is do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Can you actually do your Father's business? You have to be His child. You can't do your Father's business if you've not become His child. And the only way to become God's child is through salvation. And that salvation is through Christ. And what Jesus Christ did on that cross when He shed His blood, was buried, rose again, that is what He did for our sins. He paid the price for our sins. It was the cost of His life, the cost of that precious blood. He was buried and He rose again. And you've got to call on the Lord to be saved. You got to cry out to Him, say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. We have all sinned. We all stand guilty before God. The only detergent that can wash away sin is the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Now, is He your Savior? He's the Savior of the world. He came to be the Savior of the world. But is He your Savior? Have you cried out to Him and have you asked Him to save you and forgive you of your sins? Why don't you do that right now in this service? Oh, God, forgive me of my sins. I know I'm a sinner. I've said things wrong. I've done things wrong. I've thought things wrong. I've done things wrong. Oh, God, forgive me. Have mercy upon me. Save me from my sins. You have to come to God. If you're a believer here, what's 2023 going to be like? It's going to be like the past years, just going through the motions, doing the things I'm supposed to do. Who are we going to live for this year?
live for God sometimes, live for myself other times. Give God a little attention from time to time, call it good. Am I going to be a praying person this year? Am I going to seek God? Am I going to inconvenience myself? Am I going to have times of prayer? I believe God has spoken to this church today. I believe God has pulled on the heartstrings of our hearts today. We know these things to be true. The question is what are we going to do with them? What are we going to be? And so our invitation today is to pray. You can pray right where you're standing or where you're sitting. If you want to kneel in front of your pew, you can do that. If you want to come forward here and come around the altar and around the pulpit and pray, I'm going to give invitation. Whatever you feel that God is pushing you, pulling you, convicting you to do. And then I'll close our service in just a few moments with prayer. But let's respond to God. Let's come before the God of heaven. Let us pray.